Your neighbor Jim figured out that with Metro PCS, he gets unlimited data, talk, and text for $30, period.
Babe, that color looks awesome.
Just like he figured out that shopping with his wife will buy him a night with his buddies. That's guys' night out figured out. You too figure it out. Switch to Metro PCS on the fast 4G LTE T-Mobile network for only $30, period. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plan includes first 1 gigabyte of data at up to 4G LTE speeds. See store or metropcs.com for details and terms and conditions and data management info.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ministry Show. Me, Reverend Stan, and Frank Moxon is going to be interviewing Tom Fisher. How you doing, Tom?
Hi, Stan. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Tom. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes. Thanks. It's a pleasure talking to you guys.
It's going to be a great show tonight. We're going to be talking to Tom about his trip to Israel. He did a lot of evangelism on the street in Israel and got to talk to a lot of the, you know, the people that live around in there and the Israelites and all the ones that lives in that area. And I'm sure it's going to be a very exciting show and how the Lord moved while he was there. Now, Tom, can you kindly open up with just a little recap of your testimony just for people who ain't really heard it?
Sure, Stan. I'm 52. I've been a born-again Christian since August 19th, 1991. And the entire time that since I've come to the Lord, I've had a desire to read his word, study his word. I had a couple of backsliding times in the first 5-6 years of being a born again Christian, and then that stopped. And then I've lived in a number of places. I grew up in New Jersey, but I lived in many different places since that time period. And I started to recognize that the Lord had called me to do the work of an evangelist probably about 13, 14, 15 years ago. I can't remember exactly when I was starting to feel that. And so I started slowly talking to people about the Lord here and there. Not a whole lot, but it built up. And then I started praying for some people on the streets also without any results, because I knew it was the right thing to do. And then I started asking the Lord to use me in healing. This was probably about maybe 10 years ago, 9 years ago. I started asking him over and over, and I was studying healing. And then one night about 8 years ago, I had an amazing experience in the middle of the night with the fire of God and two angels. And since then, I have felt the power of God, the fire of God, and the electricity in my hands consistently ever since then. It has never stopped. So I believe the Lord gave me the gift of healing. And I've seen so many different things. The Lord is ministered to so many people, healing, great variety, and I've had so many different amazing experiences. Even outside of miraculous healing, I've had amazing spiritual experiences that are just like really crazy, amazing. So that's the way it's been. It was the early fall of 2008. So yeah, almost 8 years now, and so it's been really exciting. And then, about a year into ministering healing, I was ministering healing for a whole year after this happened to me. The experience, I was ministering healing for like an entire year with people everywhere I went, and I didn't know anybody in healing. I only knew the big names like Benny Hinn, because I had been studying Benny Hinn and his healing and the way he teached it, and Reinhard Bonnke and Kenneth Hagin and a few others. And I didn't know anybody. And then a year into ministering healing, I saw Todd White on some healing videos on YouTube, and I thought it was just a really great idea. And I said, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'd like to do that, Lord, but I don't have the time to find somebody to be a cameraman for me. I'd like to be able to have an imaginative way of doing this on my own. And the Lord immediately gave me the answer. When I say immediately, it was like moments after I asked that. And he said, go up to young people with your camera and get them involved. And I thought that was just brilliant. So like I started taking my camera and go up to young people, groups of maybe two or three or four, when I'd see them maybe hanging out here or there, and I'd hand my camera up to them. I'd go up to them and say, hey, guys, I was wondering if you'd do me a favor and record me on my camera. And as I was saying that, I'd be handing my camera to one of them because they, you know, younger kids, you know, 18 to 22, 23, 24, are pretty laid back and cool, and like they'll be like, yeah, sure, man, what's up? What are you gonna do? You know, and as I'm handing my camera to them as I'm saying this, basically, and they're like, you know, because of like a certain posture I would have, you know, non-confrontational posture, easy posture, and they would just go ahead and take it. And then after one of them had my camera in their hand, I would say to them, well, I'm a minister. And I pray for people, and God heals them. And I was just wondering if any of you guys had any pain anywhere. And so, like, that method that the Lord gave me immediately about 7 years ago worked, like, perfectly right from the get-go. And so the ministry has really turned into the videos. And now there's, like, over 500 videos. Most of them are healing videos, but many of them are also teaching videos. Because I've been studying the Word of God for over 24 years consistently, so I believe I have a balanced understanding of the Word of God, and so it's been very exciting. And the videos have gone around the world. And, you know, the YouTube channel is named Thomas Fisher. You can just go on YouTube and type in Thomas Fisher, and you'll see the channel. And it's just been very rewarding. It's very rewarding seeing people get healed, and it's also been very rewarding to see how many believers have been encouraged by the videos and how they've been helped. And I've had hundreds of people email me over the years saying, thank you, Tom, for the videos. They've really helped me to understand my identity in Christ. And now I've mimicked you, and now I get results healing on the streets also. So that's very, very rewarding. And so that's been like where I've discipled people, actually. I've actually done discipling through the videos with believers that have watched the videos.
Amen.
It's been really exciting journey.
Amen. That's one of the things when I started moving in healing, I was watching your videos and Todd Watts' videos. And it kind of encouraged me as well. But I remember
awesome.
In your first days, I remember you going around in your camper, and you was traveling around in your camper, and I would see where you just find some, you know, kids in the street. And I think that was very, very cool how you was getting, you know, the younger generation involved by getting them doing something while you was praying, like holding the camera or being involved in the prayer, because it kind of activates them into wanting to do more for the Lord. And that was very awesome.
That wasn't really the beginning. That wasn't the beginning. I thought I heard you say in the beginning, like that was a number of years already into. Because I've been ministering healing for almost 8 years, and that was when I was in the camper. That was about 3.5 years ago. So it was halfway through. I was already ministering healing for almost 4 years when I had that camper and started traveling around in that.
Okay.
Awesome, so it's been a while. It's been a lot of adventures.
Tom, you said that you're particularly looking for the humble, simple people. I think you've even used the word starving in the sense of kind of noticing and maybe being especially sensitive the way the Spirit leads you to those kinds of people.
Yeah, that's great. It's very good, Frank, that you brought that up, because one of my favorite verses in the Bible that helps to clear up some seeming disagreement in the body of Christ amongst people that operate in the supernatural is those who's ready to receive. And one of my favorite verses is, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And even though Jesus has provided healing for everybody, by his stripes you have been healed, and it applies to everybody, including unbelievers, But it I have seen very clearly in ministry from, and I've ministered to probably over 8,000 people on the streets in the last 8 years, and that's meaning like me one on one, one on two, one on three, one on four, you know. Like, I haven't been in front of, like, I've ministered in churches and all, but I haven't been in front of a crusade of 5,000 people. So I'm talking 8,000 people basically one-on-one or one-on-two over the years. So I've ministered to many, many people. And when you talk to a lot of people on the streets, you really learn to discern where people are at, because you see, you learn facial expressions. You can see just the way people, like their facial expressions, the muscles in their faces, the way they smile, the way they look, their eyes, everything about their posture. You've learned to discern it because of having spoken to so many people. And you can learn to discern the effect of spirits. Like, one of the gifts is discerning of spirits. And in my opinion, I believe discerning of spirits is it means that you're able to recognize the effect of a certain spirit on a person. And that also includes the Holy Spirit, because I've gone up to hundreds of people and have said to them, "You're a believer." I do it all the time. There's not a week that goes by that I see someone say, "You're a believer." I can tell. I can see the peace on your face. I'm seeing the effect of believing in Jesus. And it's the same way with unbelievers that are entertaining demons. Like, you can see the effect of those particular demons on people, different spirits, and you can see humility very, very easily. After you've spoken to so many people, you can see humility very easily. And even if the person is an unbeliever and they've got a humble look on their face, the humble unbeliever is really the easiest person. I tend to say that's the easiest person to receive, but actually the easiest person to receive is the humble, is the very humble, obedient believer. That's the easiest person that receives. But it often looks as if the easiest person to receive is the humble unbeliever, because unfortunately there are so many believers in this nation and world that struggle getting it all together and overcoming in every way. And I'm not trying to speak or preach from a position of pride. God help me, God forbid, because I've dealt with issues also. But it's we're still to be like Jesus. He said, "I'm humble and gentle." You know, so humility. I've noticed that so clearly that they receive the power of God just hits them like a bomb.
It really is a ministry of grace, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we appropriate the grace of God by agreeing with God. You know, it's and I know that's a tough statement for some to swallow, but unbelievers, for instance, like I've often said that an unbeliever will get healed easily because of the ignorance in them. However, there are instances with unbelievers where I've noticed that they don't receive because of certain spirits that they entertain, like an unbeliever entertaining a mocking spirit is probably the hardest person there is amongst unbelievers to get to receive. Because
right.
There's just something wicked, so wicked about that mocking spirit that the Lord just really opposes. And it's pride. And also the unbelievers that are not honoring their mother and their father, dishonoring their parents, those are very difficult for them to receive also. Other than that, an unbeliever could be fornicating with a girlfriend or a boyfriend and still get healed because of the ignorance. And just like, you know, it's amazing the kind of sins they can be involved in and still get healed because the Lord sees their ignorance. But those other two, the Lord just really seems to oppose that, that mocking spirit and somebody that's a young kid that's dishonoring parents. It's amazing.
Well, don't you think that, too, that in many ways healing is really a sign? It's a way to lead people to the Lord himself?
Absolutely. It's a sign. Signs are for unbelievers. And it's like I've said it over and over again. That's why unbelievers get healed, even when they're in sin, even when they're living in sin. They're all living in sin. Every unbeliever's got the sin nature that hasn't been dealt with yet because they haven't received Christ. So, like, they're dead in their sins. But yet the Lord will heal them because of their ignorance and the grace of God, and it's a sign. It's a sign to get their attention so that they will believe the gospel message. And I've noticed over time that, like I've had situations in the past where, like, a young unbeliever get healed and the power of God slammed that person, and then the pain would come back, or whatever it is, would come back, and they'd get healed again. I'd minister them again, they get healed, and then it would come back, and I'd minister them again, it'd get healed, but each time that it would come back and each time it would go away, it wasn't as dramatic as the first time. Because I'm telling you, this is such a truth. It's because the Lord expects people to respond to his grace and turn to him. All right. And so, like, I've seen this many, many times where it's just like, and sometimes it would even get to the point where it would be difficult to get that person to receive, even though they could still receive, because of that reason. That sign is supposed to get your attention, to change you, for you to humble yourself, that person to humble himself or herself, and repent and say, I repent of going my own way, Lord Jesus. I receive you. And then
amen.
And then he can, you know, so it's amazing. That's a spiritual truth, man, that'll help a lot of people understand what's going on with people.
Amen. That's one of the things that I noticed about a lot of your videos. I mean, we all have these questions. Why don't this happen? Why don't this healing happen? Why does it not happen here? Or, you know, a lot of us has these thoughts of, will God work on unbelievers, or will God work on this? And if I pray for this person, why didn't that happen? And a lot of your videos actually answer them questions. And sometimes a lot of believers don't want the answers that you give, but there's a lot of truth because you did this over and over and over and over on the streets and got, you know, results. And what happened through, you know, your results, and that was kind of like your answers, is from your experience, not by something you thought up or some theology that you thought up. Is by experience, and that's what I've saw through some of the trials.
Right, and you know, Stan, experience. A lot of believers will say, no, you can't go by experience. But like you can go by experience as long as your experience can be backed up with the Word of God. And so, like,
amen.
Like,
yeah.
I've given an example a number of times. That is, like, it's such a clear-cut example that shows this proof of what blocks healing sometimes. And like the Lord used to, well, he still does, actually. When he wants to, he'll do this. He'll use me in something that I call the cold hand, hot hand thing, where I can be talking to an unbeliever or even a believer. Actually, mostly a believer. This is based mostly on with believers, where like if I have my hand on their shoulder or something, and they got pain or something in somewhere in their body, and my hand is cold, it's person needs to forgive somebody. Like the person's not getting healed. I'm talking to a believer. The person's not getting healed, and I'll say, "Is my hand feel cold on your back?" And they'll be like, and I'll say that because I feel it too. I'll be like, my hand feels cold. Sometimes it feels hot, but yet it'll be cold for them. They'll say, yes, your hand feels very cold. And I'll say to them, now, I've seen this many times. The Lord wants you to know that you need to forgive. And there's so much scriptural evidence for you needing to forgive. All right. And so, like, I'll bring that person in a gentle, non-condemning way to the point where they will repent of not forgiving somebody. And while my hand is still on them, it'll go. My hand will go from cold to hot, and the pain will go away without addressing the pain, just after they have repented and forgave somebody. And so, like, it's just a clear example how it's a marriage of faith. When you're ministering to somebody, it's a marriage of faith. It's my faith meeting their faith. And some people say, no, the person receiving does not need faith. And that's a bunch of nonsense. The person receiving does need to, and they'll say to me, what about unbelievers? They don't have faith. Yes, they do. When an unbeliever says to me, okay, you can pray for me, because I've said to them, I'll say to an unbeliever that God uses me in healing, and he'll heal you right now. And when they say, okay, yes, you can pray for me, they're exercising faith right there. Even though they don't believe in Jesus yet, it's at that moment they're exercising faith, and that's all the faith they need to get healed. And so it's a marriage of faith. And so, but when you're talking to a believer who already has that truth in them, and then they're turning away from that truth, they're damaging their faith. That's what they're doing. And that's why they can't receive. There's a wall there, and it's not the Lord. It's not that the Lord doesn't want to minister healing. He wants to, but he can't. They tie his hands because they're going against his word, because he says that you need to forgive. You know, and it's like the Matthew 18, the unmerciful servant, is an excellent example of how a person needs to forgive. And if you don't forgive, then the grace is not there for you.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Amen. We're gonna go right into the song, and we'll come right back, and we'll be talking to Tom about his Israel trip. We'll be right back. Chuck McDonald singing I Will Stand. Awesome song. And welcome back, Tom Fisher. How you doing, Tom?
Good, thank you. Thank you.
We were just talking about his testimony and just many different things that he's experienced on the street, but we're going to go straight into the Israel trip. Now, Tom, what really led you to go to Israel?
Well, you know, as a believer who has studied the Word of God for many, many years, I see like there's like a certain perspective. Like I wrote a book, A Guide to the True Grace of God, and the word perspective is such a big word because like this is that perspective is the difference between how you see certain things and like for instance. Believers that hold a perspective a certain way have this perspective of what you would call replacement theology, for instance, where they think the church has replaced Israel. And in a certain way, there's truth to that in a certain way, but not as much as they think it is. Like God still has a plan. This is my perspective, God, from the Word of God. God still has a plan for the people of Israel, and he's a God of nations. This new world order thing that's coming in, it's not going to last because God is a God of nations. He made nations. He didn't make one world order. The last time they tried this one world order thing, God came down and confused their language with the Tower of Babel. And scatter them all right? And so I do believe that God is not done with the people of Israel. He's given them a land. I don't think that promise that he gave to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob it's never stopped. He doesn't give a promise and then take it away. So I believe that land, and we also see in the Bible, in Revelation, I think, or in Ezekiel, we see the millennial reign of Christ in the way the land is divided in the land of Israel. And it speaks, it gives dimensions and everything. And so the Israel, God, it's God's inheritance. And now I do believe that those who are in Christ, they're the believers. They are the house of God. They're the believers. And they're the ones with the promises of Abraham. But that doesn't mean actual people that are Jews, that is Israelites, are not included also when they believe in Jesus. So when they believe in Jesus, they are the people of God also from the actual Jews that we got the Bible from and all that. So I very much believe that. And so God is he's turning his attention to the Jews. We see in Scripture that once the full number of the Gentiles has come into the kingdom, God then turns his attention back to the Jews. And so the Jews were hardened in part. The Jews were hardened on purpose. God, it's like God knew everything that was going to happen. They rejected Jesus. They rejected their Messiah, and so their hearts were hardened. And so God turned his attention to the Gentiles to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom, and he provoked the people of Israel to jealousy through the Gentiles. And then once all the Gentiles are in, he comes back to the Jews and he saves the Jews. He removes wickedness from the Jews. He removes the scales from their eyes. He wakes them up and he saves the Jews. Now, I don't understand the scripture that says, and so all Israel shall be saved. I'm not really sure what that means exactly, but I don't believe it means every single Jew. It means only the Jews that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And just like not every Gentile believes. Not every Gentile believes Jesus. So like when God turns his attention to the Jews, to the Gentiles and saves Gentiles, he saves the ones that believe in Jesus. So not every Gentile is believing. We see this clearly in life and in the scriptures. And then, so the same thing with Israel. When he turns his attention to the Jews, many Jews are going to believe, but not all of them. And it's only the ones that believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so I see God doing this. And so I have a place in my heart for the Jews. I love the Jewish people. And so this is what it's been building up for a couple of years. And so I'm telling my wife, Ahala, it's like, let's do it. Because she loves the Jewish people also. She wanted to minister to them. And we were like, I believe now's the time. So let's go to Israel and see what God is doing. And it was just an amazing trip.
Amen.
Tom, I think it comes back to the prophecy of Isaiah, speaking of Jesus, and where he said that the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You said just a moment ago that you believe that the same, the blessing of Abraham and the continuity of the people of Israel all through recorded history, really, that they have been at the center of God's activities, that
right.
That's definitely something that Jesus intended to continue.
Right. It's amazing. He's a Jew.
Now,
our Savior is a Jew, right?
That's right.
Yeah, amen. He sure is. Now, I'm curious to
know some of the things that you experienced. Maybe you could just give us a couple of things that you yourself experienced, Tom, on your trip to Israel.
Oh gosh, it's like you know, Frank. That's one of the reasons why I make the videos. But well, actually, I explained to you guys the reason why I started making the videos, but. I've over the course of the years, I've come to realize one of the great benefits of making videos is that it makes it easy to remember the cool things. You know, I spoke to hundreds of people in Israel, and like I'll teach people that I wait on the leading of the Spirit when I'm going to minister to somebody, and
right.
because I firmly believe that. I can't do anything on my own. It's like Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. And so this is my approach also. I wait on the leading of the Spirit. I get an unction. Most of the times I feel the power of God on my hands. If I'm not feeling the power of God on my hands, I might still minister to somebody. If I see somebody that looks really humble and open, or if I just hear something in my spirit that this is a situation that the Lord's doing, I get involved. But when I got to Israel, I kind of put that aside a little bit because I put that method completely aside because I wanted to speak to a lot of people just to interact with many, many Jewish people. I didn't want to wait until I felt the power of God. I just spoke to a bunch of people, and so I spoke to hundreds of people over the 33 days that we were in Israel. I spoke to hundreds of Jews, and I made videos of most, if not all, of the exciting things that happened on video. And I believe the Lord did that on purpose because He wanted it documented. And so whenever I was in a situation that was going to be really cool, it's because the Lord wanted it documented. And so it's on video and just amazing situations where, you know, one guy, the last thing that happened in Israel was a guy on crutches who, like, he could not put his foot on the ground at all for the pain. And with a 5-10 second prayer, whatever it was, boom, he was walking on it with zero pain and he was speechless. And it's on video, and he was just totally dumbfounded. He couldn't really talk much in the situation because he was speechless. He was like, you know, and so I saw it as an opportunity to explain to him why and who Jesus is, and he was receiving it all. And I didn't feel the need to, like, ask him to receive Jesus as his Messiah right then and there, but I know he's gonna, you know, and in fact, easy to try and lead. I sensed in my spirit that I wasn't looking to lead people to Jesus right then and there because a lot of it was on video. So even though a lot of them were receiving the things I was saying, they knew they were being recorded. They allowed me to record the situation, but
right.
but there was kind of like a cutoff line, so to speak, where they didn't want to do that on video. And I sensed that very clearly in my spirit. And so my wife and I discovered that it was a ministry trip of sowing seeds, and so we just saw amazing
well,
things.
One of the powerful sides of that we see, particularly in the use of videos and even just recorded conversations, is the amazing power of the testimony.
Right. Amen. The testimony is fantastic, and I tell a lot of believers, a lot of people that get healed, I'll tell them, say, look, you know, because like I'll say to them now, if you let me use this on my YouTube channel I'm causing you to give your testimony, and you're not even doing it. So, like, if somebody sees, if 5,000 people see this video over the course of 6 to 8 months, whatever, that's 5,000 times that you've given your testimony to somebody, and you didn't even do it yourself. I recorded it and put it on my YouTube channel, so God will give you credit for giving your testimony to all those people without you even, with you only doing it once.
That's right.
Right. Isn't that amazing? And it's like, and they, when I say that to them, they look at me like, wow, that sounds really like accurate. That sounds good.
You know, I think that's especially important, like in a situation like that where you were in Israel and most of the people are Jewish and they have a predisposition against Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah. Although there are many believers, Messianic believers, of course, but still, that's such an enormous testimony for people that are Jewish, especially, to see other Jews being healed in the name of Jesus or in the name of Yeshua.
Yep, it is. And over the coming years, many Jews will see those videos. And so, like, that's the power of the videos, and that's what, you know, is the Lord's idea to lead me to make videos, and you're going to see, you know, the world will see the benefit of that over the coming years, and like the videos every month, all the videos combined, over 500 videos, they get over, right now they're getting over 54,000 views per month.
Wow.
Of all the videos combined. All right, so in yeah, it's a lot of views for all of them combined, and so like a lot of people are being helped this way, and the Jews in Israel was so easy to talk to. They were like, we were shocked at how easy it was to talk to Jews in Israel. You know, so
that's
like
awesome.
So God is changing them.
That's awesome. Now, what type of faith is in Israel? Do they, you know, what type of beliefs is down there?
Well, you know what? It is sad to say how so many Jews have been lied to by the rabbis. And, you know, if somebody says, oh, don't pick on the rabbis, no, I'm sorry. They've been taught lies by the rabbis. They've been taught by the rabbis that Jesus his mother was a prostitute. He's burning in his own excrement in hell. That's written in the Talmud, I believe. They said he came to start a new religion. All right, it's lies. It's disgusting lies about Jesus. No different from back then. No different than how the rabbis were treating him back then. You know, and it's even probably even worse now. You know, and so like I told a lot of Jews, look, Jesus did not come to start a new religion. He came to fulfill Torah, and that's what he did. He came to fulfill Torah. He kept the Torah perfectly, and not just like in the physical sense, like he never lied, but he also never had a lie in his heart. He never had a lustful thought in his heart even. So like what a lot of the Jews don't understand is that they think fulfilling Torah is just like, okay, I've never actually lied. You know, even if you can say that you've never actually committed a lie, have you ever had a lie in your heart? See, they don't understand the full extent of Torah, and Jesus is the only one that fulfilled it perfectly in that sense. All right, and so that's what and it needed to be. Torah needed to be fulfilled perfectly. It had to be. And that's the reason why Jesus said, "Not one dot will ever be gone from the law until all is fulfilled." You know, so does the Torah still matter? It sure does. I can't go out and murder somebody. I can't call myself a Christian. In fact, I can't even, like Jesus said, even if you are angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. And you put yourself in a place of judgment. I can't even be, if I'm angry at my brother, it's the same thing as not forgiving. And then we look at scripture, like I mentioned earlier, the unmerciful servant, where Jesus said that if you do not forgive, like the guy that didn't want to forgive the little debt, he was forgiven a big debt. he didn't want to forgive a little debt. He was thrown back in jail and told he had to pay off that debt. He wouldn't get out until he paid off that debt, and it was an insurmountable debt that he couldn't forgive. So he was thrown back to law because he didn't want to give grace. So the grace that was given to him was taken from him. It's amazing. People, so many Christians will teach that you can't lose that grace. No, no, no. This man in Matthew 18, the grace that was given to him was taken back. And so it's the same thing. If I'm angry with my brother, it's like I'm not forgiving my brother. And so how can I expect to receive that grace? That's why I've always taught firmly that believing is a continuous thing. It's not a moment in time. The word believe has a connotation of always continuing right to the end, and then salvation is really the full salvation is at the end when you receive it. So you can argue persuasively that you have salvation in you now when you believe in Jesus, but it's not total. It's not the full salvation until it's the very end. The race is over. You got the redemption of your body, and you're in heaven. Let me tell you, anybody that wants to argue with that, what that's foolish arguing with that. Why would anybody want to argue with that? I have a reverent fear of God, man. I want to make it. I don't want to fall. I don't want to stumble. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Were there any particular goals or things that you had hoped to accomplish when you decided to go to Israel that maybe you did, or maybe some things that you didn't that you wish you'd had more time or opportunity?
Oh, yeah, that's good, Frank. Yeah, I wanted to see more people saved, but I'm not disappointed because I realized that it was a time of sowing seeds, of preparing the hearts of Jews in Israel. And also, like, there was a lot of stuff that I learned that I didn't know about Israel. You know, it's like I wasn't sure. I'd never been to Israel before. And so, like, one of the things I noticed that we both noticed is of the dynamics of what's going on in Israel. Like Tel Aviv, for instance, we found that Tel Aviv is an excellent place to minister because of how secular it is. Like, the Jews in Israel that live in Tel Aviv, they're so sick of the impossible nature of Orthodox, of keeping the Torah perfectly, it's impossible. And they're right. They're absolutely right. It is impossible. And so they've rejected it. And Tel Aviv is like a conglomerate. It's like a mixture of Jews that have this secular thinking. They've swung far to the left. Like, you know, they've swung far to the left because they can't fulfill Torah. It's impossible. The rules are just, like, so ridiculous and so, you know, and so, like, they've rejected it. And so, like, anything goes, you know. It's like, you know, so, like, when you move to the left and you don't have that traditional upbringing that you're brought up with Torah, then it's like the Bible says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And so anything goes. That's why there's a lot of homosexuality in Tel Aviv, a lot of lesbianism, a lot of atheism, a lot of agnosticism. There's a lot of that in Tel Aviv. But you know what? When people that are engrossed in those lies, when they start coming back to the center, they're the ones that are going to be open to the grace of God, because that's what they want. They just want to be loved. They want grace. They want grace. They want to be loved. They don't know Jesus, but there's something inside them that says this is what they want. And so when they're sick and tired, the Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. So once they're sick and tired of that sin and they recognize how empty it is, the flesh, living in the flesh, living that sin, that's when it's time. That's when they're going to be reaching out and they're going to be open to Jesus. You know, and so, like, we recognize that about Tel Aviv, you know, and I'm sure there's other places in Israel that are same way. And
did you visit Jerusalem for a period of time?
Oh, yeah. Sure. We were in Jerusalem for a number of days also. And we just enjoyed seeing all the sites. We ministered healing there. We ministered healing to some Jews there, more Muslims actually than Jews, because there's a lot of Muslims there. But we also noticed the tension, there's a high religious tension there. But there's also something that I noticed about Jerusalem is that, and this is it's unfortunate that amongst a lot of Christians, there's a like kind of like carnal Christians or Christians that don't go deep in Jesus, there are Christians that don't understand their identity, which is a high percentage of Christians, there's a great fear in them where, like, you go to Jerusalem and you see Christians all everywhere in tour groups, you know, and there's this fear, like, don't go off the path, you know, and stay with the group. But my wife, Ahava, and I were there by ourselves, and we were like, come on, man, there's not a jihadist on every corner looking to cut your head off, you know. And so, like, we were walking through the Muslim quarter, you know, like the Muslims are like, hi, how you doing? Come on into my shop, you know. You know, it's like nowhere near as dangerous, even though it's a high tension and there's Israeli soldiers with machine guns in different places. It's nowhere near as dangerous as a lot of like carnal Christians would tell you. They'll be like, oh, be very careful, don't go into the Muslim quarter. That's nonsense. We were all over the place, you know, and we weren't being, you know, we weren't fear of being jumped every 2 seconds. You know, it's like it's not the case.
Amen. Did you get to see the tomb of Jesus while you were there? Got to minister
there's some disagreement. We went to the Garden Tomb. That seems to be the popular agreement place. And then there's the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that is like somehow or another it's inside the old city, which doesn't make any sense. It seems like they've moved some artifacts or something into there. But because Jesus was not crucified in the city, he was crucified outside the city, you know, and then he was buried outside the city also. And so the Garden Tomb is outside the city. We went there and we went inside the tomb where he supposedly laid. And I do believe that there's a real good chance that is where Jesus was laid. And we just enjoyed it there. We didn't minister to anybody there because it's a very solemn area. We're quiet and there's a lot of inflection and reflection going on and just, you know, so it didn't seem like the right atmosphere to be ministering to people when they're in that frame of mind or posture, so to speak.
Yeah, it's very, very sacred in a place like that. But what did you experience when you was there, when you was around the tomb and just way the Holy Spirit was speaking to you while you was around that?
Well, I didn't experience anything like what you would maybe what you'd like to hear, I guess. I know my wife Ahava said that she felt like it was a very holy place, and I didn't really feel anything different about the place. I guess it's because the kind of doctrinal theology that I've developed is that, like, you know, to the pure all things are pure. You know, it's like every place you go is holy unto the Lord, and there are people, God loves people everywhere, you know, he loves everybody, you know, and it's like, and so like there's a holy situation. What you can be in, like I don't do this, but you can be in a go-go bar. I don't go to go-go bars, but I mean, you can be in a go-go bar and be in a holy situation. Because you're in there, because, you know, like a believer, if for some reason the Lord told a believer to go into a go-go bar and get somebody that doesn't belong in there and talk to that person in order to convince the person to get out of there, that's a holy situation. So, like, it's like I didn't feel anything in the Garden Tomb, because a lot of, like, the holy feeling, I guess, that you would find from people that are in there seeing that as a holy place. That this is how they see it, and so you can get like kind of snookered, I guess, in a way, into thinking that, oh, I feel a holy feeling here, but I didn't sense that, you know, because it's like it's just like what people are deciding, you know, rather than like the power of the Holy Spirit flowing somewhere else, like in a healing situation or something. So, you know, I enjoyed it because of the novelty of it.
That's awesome. Did you get to see the crucifixion place?
You know what? That's one place we wanted to go. We wanted to find Golgotha. We didn't go. I don't even know if they even know where Golgotha is. I'm not too sure they even know where that is. But we didn't go there. We went out to the Mount of Olives, which is right outside the city, right outside the old city. of Jerusalem, you know, the outside the walls is the Mount of Olives. And then at the base of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we believe it really is the Garden of Gethsemane because there are olive trees in there, or I think there are olive trees, that are very old. And these things are so big. They're so wide at the base. And they look like they've died and come back to life like probably 100 times over the centuries. Because they're like old and decrepit, but yet there's life springing out of them all over the place. You know, they're not 40, 50, 60 feet high. They're only like 20 or 30 feet tall, not even 30 feet tall. They're like between 15 and 30 feet tall, these trees. But the base, like a lot of them have a base, a trunk that is like 5 feet wide. Because they're so old, and so like they die and come back to life, and so like it's amazing. It's like you can't kill them, and it doesn't surprise me because of all the praying that went on in that garden by Jesus and the apostles, mostly Jesus, you know, praying to his Father, and you know, it's just amazing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you had a great experience when you went there. I mean, it must have been awesome to be walking the same streets that Jesus did 2,000 years ago.
Absolutely. It sure was. It just like, just, you know, like I had said, I didn't get like a woo type feeling, but just knowing in the mind, yes, this is where he ministered is like, that's just really fascinating. And we actually, there were some Muslims that I ministered healing to a couple of Muslims that operate shops right along the Via Dolorosa, and they were just like so amazed. It's amazing the innocent ignorance that's in them. They were like, what's that, magic? You know, when they got healed, this is magic? Like, no, it's Jesus. You know, And one of them had authority to allow us to go down. Well, actually, he didn't have authority. It's open to the public. He told us of a place to go where you can go down below the actual Via Dolorosa to the original Via Dolorosa, because Jerusalem has been destroyed and rebuilt a number of times. And so they don't clear out the rubble. They don't bring in bulldozers and clear stuff out. They build right on top of the old stuff. And so there, you can go down through steps and tunnels below the Via Dolorosa to actual where the actual Via Dolorosa was that Jesus walked on. That's some of it's still there. That's not buried or covered. And so, like, we did that, and like that was fascinating to do that.
That's awesome. I mean, it really sounded like y'all had a good time down there and got to really minister to a lot of Israelites. That's awesome, Tom.
Yeah, we did. And speaking of the Muslims on the Via Dolorosa, there was one Muslim man that got healed, and he was shocked at his healing. And then it turns out that he told his cousin about what happened. And then one day I'm walking along with my wife, and Ule Martin Gobranson, another believer who came to join us for a few days, we're walking along, and I see this man who's a Muslim, and I feel the power of God, and I start telling him, like, you know, hey, Jesus wants to heal you. And it turns out that this guy is the cousin of the other guy that I ministered healing to. And he goes, yeah, my back hurts. I heard about you. And he got healed. And he's like, that's amazing. I didn't believe my cousin until now.
That's awesome. Tom, we'd like to thank you for coming on here tonight and sharing your story about your trip and your experiences on your walk with the Lord and praying for people on the street. Now, I mean, it's been an awesome experience tonight, Tom.
Oh, man. Well, you know what, Stan and Frank, I really appreciate it because I can tell by how much I enjoyed sharing all this that it was from the Spirit, and I just really – I appreciate the opportunity to share with whoever out there is listening, and you know, so people will be helped by it. So thank you, guys.
Amen.
Thank you, Tom.
We're very
grateful to have had this time to give God the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tom, could you leave us out by praying for people out there, anybody that needs healed or anything?
Absolutely. So, Father in Heaven, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity with Stan and Frank, Lord, and you're just amazing, Abba. And I've been calling my Father in Heaven Abba a lot lately. You know, Abba means daddy. You know, so Abba, I thank you, Abba, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for this opportunity to minister, to share about of my experiences in Israel, my wife, and my experiences of healing that you've given me the privilege and the honor of walking in all these years. And I just thank you right now for what you want to do, Father. And Abba, right now, Holy Spirit, come in power upon anybody listening that needs healing in their body right now with the peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace, so peace to you who needs healing. Pain go, sickness go, infirmity go, in the name of Jesus, every demon get out. Lord, grant repentance. Lord, you know you gave authority to remit sins, and so for everybody listening that is humbling themselves right now, your sins are forgiven. If you're humbling yourself, Jesus would say your sins are forgiven. So be healed right now. Be free of any tormenting demon. You spirit of torment, get out. You spirit of trauma, get out in Jesus' name. Back pain go, knee pain go. Right now, all headache go, migraine headaches go right now. Be free of that torment, those headaches and the pain in the spine and in the neck. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All joint pain go, sickness go, any influenza attacking people, get out right now in Jesus' name. And so, Holy Spirit, keep on blasting them. Bring your fire, Lord, upon them to burn up the work of the enemy. Just like your word says, let God arise and may his enemies be scattered. And so the enemies of God is the work of Satan. So, Satan, you're done. Jesus has defeated you. So anybody needs it, receive it right now, that grace, that mercy upon your lives, mercy. Extend mercy, Lord, mercy to those who are in ignorance, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless them. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you for this time, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Now, Tom, tell people how they can get in touch with you and your videos and all that.
Well, great. Thank you. Yeah, So the videos for now, maybe a month or so now, I've been putting at the beginning of the videos for comments and questions, email me at tomfisherministries@gmail.com. And so I did that because I disable comments on the YouTube channel for a number of reasons. I share that on my YouTube, on some of the videos, how like I want to stop like people from some people don't show enough discretion, and so they'll start teaching on the comments section, and some people will curse me out on the comments section, and I delete those comments, and so it's actually a good way to prevent people from sinning against the Lord. People that would curse me out, it prevents them from sinning against the Lord by disabling comments, and so I disable comments, and so I encourage people to send to tomfisherministries@gmail.com for comments and questions. And the name of the YouTube channel is Thomas Fisher. That's actually my website. I never really even had an official website because the YouTube channel, the videos have actually turned out to be the whole ministry, basically. And so I encourage you to watch that. On Facebook, I'm maxed out at 5,000 friends on Facebook, and I just never want to head to make a public figure page there or a fan page there. I just never bothered doing that. So, you know, you can, but my Facebook page is open to the public. So even if you're not a Facebook friend, you can still see what's on there on the page. So anybody, thanks for people that have supported me and have prayed for me. I really appreciate it. God bless you all. Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I want to tell everybody that, you know, the Healing Light Show is warped into the Healing Light Ministries. We're going into doing a lot of things in the community and doing, you know, giving out stuff to the poor and trying to get into doing a pantry. We also do live video shows. You can go to the Healing Light Show on YouTube and see our live shows that we've had. We're also on Calvary Church channel. We've got live shows on there, and we are creating the Healing Light Ministry on Roku. And what we're going to do, we're going to go around, and anybody that's got street healing, anybody has that, would want to come on Roku and have their videos put on Roku and let people see this. We're going to have them to come in with a Healing Light and just put their videos out there and just bring more people to the Lord. We're all the family of Christ and family of God, and we're just coming together, and that's one way we're going to try to do that. We got that in the works now. We're putting that together. It's not fully put together yet, but we're working on that now, and that'll be something on Roku. And as we know, Roku is all over the world now. I mean, that's everybody's going to internet TV, and it's going to be something awesome. So we're excited about that. But, you know, just check out, you know, Healing Light Ministries on Facebook, on YouTube, and Cowboys Church channel on Roku. So, you know, just check us out and watch some of our shows and let our shows bless you. And we want to thank each and everybody listening to this program today. We hope this touched you in some way and brought the Lord to your life. And God bless every one of y'all. And thank you, Frank, for coming on here today with me.
My pleasure. I enjoyed it. It's always a blessing, Stan, to work with you.
Wow.
And
praise the Lord. Lord, bless this ministry, Lord Jesus. Bless this ministry. Bring more viewers to it. You guys, Stan and Frankie, did a great job.
Yeah, thanks, man. We try, man. But
awesome.
It's going good, and the Lord's blessing everybody. We will be with y'all Wednesday night, and we're going to be bringing a word from the Lord about truth. So stay tuned to that, and we'll see y'all soon. God bless every one of y'all. And thank you, Tom.
Oh, thank you. God bless you all. See you later, Stan. See you, Frank.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
Bye. Right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Delisted high, delisted high. Sweet glory, delisted high, delisted high. Delisted high, for your glory. Delisted high, delisted high, delisted high, for your glory. Delisted high, delisted high, delisted. For your glory, be lifted high. Sing it out, you're the king of all the ages.
Run to Old Navy right now to get 50% off summer's must-have styles for the entire family. That's 50% off all tees, 50% off all tanks, 50% off all shorts, and 50% off all swimwear. Run to Old Navy now through Friday to score amazing 50% off deals.
Imagine this. Everyone's coming over for the cookout later, but insects have invaded your yard by the thousands. You think you're doomed. Think again. Think Amdro. New Amdro Quick Kill works fast, just like the name says. In fact, Amdro Quick Kill liquids work in minutes and kill over 500 insects. Now all you have to worry about is running out of burgers. So go ahead, get Amdro and take back your yard. The new Amdro Quick Kill products are available now, only at Lowe's.